Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Porzingis is back. I'm going to take a picture of the screen right now because the Knicks have the lead over the Mavericks in the Porzingis revenge game. This may be as good as it gets, Mike Harmon. This moment right now in time, as good as it gets.
Why are they getting rid of both revenge games so early in the season?
Because
if they don't matter?
No, because the later the season goes, the easier it is for the Knicks to quit. So the Knicks will play better now early and maybe win these games.
Just checking. I mean, didn't we just see this cross-conference rivalry play out earlier this season?
Knicks are going for the sweep, man. We're going to sweep Porzingis.
Porzingis, is he the Latviander? Poor Latvian Sean.
He's got 18 and 9 rebounds, but the Knicks have the 87-84 lead tonight. Julius Randle's got 13. The Knicks bench is on fire. And it's also the Dennis Smith Jr. revenge game because he's playing against his former team. He's got 13 and 7 assists off the bench.
Well, Kristaps Porzingis booed lustily. My favorite.
No one has ever booed non-lustily. No one just sort of boos.
Well, they do kind of boo.
They were yelling. They're chanting, go back to Latvia.
Oh, yeah.
KP sucks.
Sure.
Dolan sucks.
Where's your brother?
Oh, that's a regular night. Yeah, I mean,
Dolan was going, you're ejected, and you're ejected. It's like Oprah giving out cars. He's giving out ejections.
Just got ejected.
Do a retinal scan on that guy. I don't want him back in here.
Yeah, what are you, in Star Trek now? Retinal scan? Is that what you want?
Well, that's the next evolution. You want to ban a guy. You don't take his picture. You can't have that many pictures. That's too big a book. I gotta go through. I don't remember this guy's face.
So the Porzingis revenge game. Knicks have the 87-84 lead over the Mavericks. There's still a lot of time left for the Knicks to blow this left in this game.
Fourth quarter's gonna start for
yes.
both your team and my team. When Coby White goes nuts, the fourth quarter is a non-factor.
Fourth quarter's never a good time for the Knicks.
No, not good.
No, if the games were three quarters, they might win like 25 games.
Closing time is a bad thing. You know what they do though? Just like with load management. Everybody says, shorten the schedule. You know what they're going to do? They're going to take those games off. Even if it's 60.
Hey, to help the Knicks, instead of load management, what if we just stop games? They're allowed to stop games they're winning after three quarters.
Brilliant!
They get the choice.
Come running to the table and hit a plunger.
Hey, you can keep playing, or we could stop the game right now.
Or you get what's in the box.
I like that. Well, they kind of do like in my daughter's Little League. You know, she plays fall ball, and fall ball's always a little bit less intense in the spring.
Yeah.
They give the girl...
Less psychotic parents.
Yeah, they give
because they go hibernate for the winter.
They give the girl back a choice. If she gets hit with a pitch, she can either go to first base and take it, or no, stay and hit. And all the girls say they want to stay
and
hit.
Of course you want to stay and hit, because now
the Knicks would go right to first base. Dropping that bat, I'm going right to first base.
No,
and then they get thrown out.
No, because now the pitcher's scared. You stare them down a little bit. They're not coming back inside because they know you may run out to the mound and beat them.
Taking that base. No, it didn't even hit me, but I'm still running down to first base.
They get caught sleeping at first.
That's happened before, where girls go down to first base and they round the base like, all right, and then the catcher is just waiting. And then
that would be the Knicks.
Firing it down? Yeah, that'd be the Knicks.
That happened
and then they
to
would
you
trip
once,
and fall you? Going back to first base.
Well,
that's what would happen.
That happens.
I would say that.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear it.
So we'll keep you updated there, but obviously the big story of the night, Steelers and the Browns at halftime, and maybe we are finally seeing the real Browns. They have the 14-0 lead over the Pittsburgh Steelers as this game has hit the break, and Baker Mayfield's had a nice first half. They haven't been able to run the ball very well, but through the air, they've been moving the ball a bit. Pittsburgh has been able to do absolutely nothing. James Conner hurt in this one. I don't think he is coming back. Juju Smith-Schuster was hurt early in this game. He is officially not coming back. And every play the last 6 minutes of the second quarter was Mason Rudolph fading back, and he was getting hit. He was getting sacked. He was so gun shy. There was a play with about 3.5 minutes left in the first half in which he could have run for close to a first down, but instead threw the ball away. Like, he's scrambling outside the pocket, could have run for maybe a first down or close to it, but decided to throw it to nobody. And this is a play where you could gain at least 6 to 8 yards, and he decided to throw it. He's been getting hit. They've been getting through. The Browns have been doing whatever they want to the Steelers' offensive line, and no Connor, no Juju Smith-Schuster. At this point, the Browns have to win this game.
Villanueva's been absolutely atrocious. Your offensive line, that's normally one of the big selling points of the Steelers team, has just been dominated. Line of scrimmage, it's been ugly. We've watched Jalen Samuels try to hide instead of doing pass protect and almost getting Mason Rudolph killed a couple of times. He's got no business being back there. That's not what he does, right? Connor, part of his appeal, obviously he's got good stats and fantasy owners love him, but he's a guy that'll stand in and can deliver a blow on a blitzing linebacker or a stunt on the D-line. Samuels has no chance. He is so overmatched. So it becomes you've got to roll the pocket. You've got to give Rudolph a little bit of a cleaner field and see what you can come up with, because right now Myles Garrett, Chad Thomas, I mean, they are both just having their way, and you're getting chunk yardage out of Baker Mayfield. That's the other thing that's a little bit of a surprise. Kareem Hunt's arrival is huge. We saw it last week against Buffalo, but certainly this week, having to account for him, not as a runner, they're doing a good job bottling up Nick Chubb, but pass protecting, something that the Browns haven't been able to do, but you're getting a little more because you're keeping them honest with Hunt going out into passing routes. So you got a big play to Odell. You got Hodge on a 41-yarder, and they had to challenge it. Otherwise, that was a 59-yarder. And then you look at Hunt and Landry are both with receptions of at least 20 yards. So good chunk yardage for Baker Mayfield, and thus far he's been able to survive those third downs.
Yeah, and that's been the shocking part, is that Kareem Hunt doesn't have a carry. You know, and it's not like Nick Chubb is having a big game. He's having a very non-Nick Chubb-like game, because of all the things you can say about how poor the Browns' offense has been this year, you know, Nick Chubb has had breakthrough games. He has run the ball very well. Not having a big night tonight, and still he's got all 10 rushing attempts outside of Baker Mayfield's keeper on first and goal for a touchdown. But I'm really surprised that Hunt hasn't gotten in the mix a little bit more.
Not a guy you want to feel bad for, though.
No, but I'm saying we're talking about football strategy, and it's unfortunate that we talk, but that's the thing about a guy like Kareem Hunt, is that you have to keep the talk specifically to football. Now, you know, this is the deal with football. He's got issues. He shouldn't have been in the league as long as he was. There should have been a better decision, but he's in and he's affecting the game, and it's part of the conversation. It's very much of a, this is him, he's in the game, and here's what the Browns should be doing. That's how it goes.
Half his season suspension, still a dynamic player when on the field, and we've seen it 2 weeks in a row. Suddenly you get some openings downfield, and even if he's not running the ball, accounting for him as a pass catcher, much like when he was in Kansas City, your offense opens up so much more. Odell Beckham Jr., he's dropped at least 2 passes, two catchable balls, but he's open, right? He's got space. And on the touchdown pass, I mean, Baker Mayfield could have thrown to whomever he wanted, right? You had three guys.
Two
guys standing by themselves doing jumping jacks, and then you had a third if he just placed the ball on the right. So, I mean, they're having their way right now with the Steelers.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. It's almost like this game looks very similar to the Browns-Jets game earlier this year, where the Jets lost Trevor Siemian, who was in for Sam Darnold, who had mono. Luke Falk was saying, hey, we're on a one-game win streak, and we're bringing Adam Gase back now. We're hot now. The Jets are hot.
Wait, but you've got other things brewing? I mean, one, I'm proud of you. We went straight to the NFL game because your hero is back in the league, and we'll get to him in a little bit. But you've got unrest in Jets land. You didn't think the week was going to end silently, did you?
No. Quincy Enunwa, who is on IR, is upset that he has been fined for missing treatments, and he is having a Twitter meltdown right now. Yep. Second Jets player who has been fined for missing treatments / was that whistle? Was that the Astros?
It was.
Is that telling me?
Look out for the hook.
No,
duck.
No.
Here comes the fastball.
No. It's a change of pace. It's the off-speed pitch.
Just
whistles
careful.
Off speed pitch.
Oh, that's the trash can.
Yeah. All right, when I whistle, it's a fastball. Trash can's an off speed pitch, right? That's how it is.
Well, I mean, he also had whistling back in the World Series. I mean, it's all over the place. But yeah, this NFL game, I mean, this is one that we were looking forward to, and it's played exactly the opposite of
last night. I didn't think Baker Mayfield and the Browns passing game could get well against the Steelers. but this is what's happening.
Don't put too much stock in it, though.
This looks so far like they're playing an overmatched team, like they're playing the Jets week two.
The running back Connor's out.
Out.
They're playing. What do you want from Rudolph?
Right. Well, they're playing the Jets in week two. You know, this is a game they should be winning this game.
Yeah, I just didn't, even with Connor being banged up, the being grossly overmatched on the offensive line is something I wouldn't have expected. Ramon Foster was back, right? He'd missed a couple of games because of a concussion. Villanueva's there. Pouncey's been there. Like, you've got your front five. Most teams can't say that coming into week 11. How many are we chronicling, hey, they've got the big workout scheduled for Tuesday? See what I did there? Mm-hmm. That going on. But they're just getting bull rushed time and time again. And when you've got Mason Rudolph, who I think is still to some degree, even though he's been played better, they've taken more shots downfield before tonight, and they've taken a couple tonight, that he's still feeling a little bit of the footsteps off of that hit from Earl Thomas. Like, I think that still is residually there.
It is, but on a larger scale, a team like the Steelers, look, we talked about the job they've done up until this point. Missing Roethlisberger, trying to get along without Antonio Brown, sure, without Le'Veon Bell. All right, here's James Conner. Now James Conner is hurt. And Juju Smith-Schuster, and now Juju Smith-Schuster is hurt and he's out. The Steelers can't sit here and back and go, all right, now we're just going to go one-dimensional and win this game.
That's right.
Mason Rudolph, they need to be able to run the football if they're going to be effective. He's not going to go crazy and throw for 300 yards in the second half because we just have to because we can't run the football. The Steelers are still limited. I still thought they were going to win this game and they were going to impose their defensive will on the game, but it's not happened that way. And look, like they're a damage. They're like the Jets. In week two, the Jets had no weapons, right? They had Le'Veon Bell and they had no quarterback. And this is no running back. No number one running back, no number one wide receiver. They don't have anything. So really, if the Browns lose this game at this point, 14-0, I don't know what else they could do. I mean, that's really the end of the season.
It'll be a really good night here on Fox Sports Radio because things will be melting. That's how white hot it'll get as you look at this. Burnett did leave the game with about a minute 26 limping around for the Cleveland secondary. He's made a couple of big plays in this one as well. So we'll see if he returns as the Steelers get the ball back. But certainly it'll be curious to watch this offense, how they play from behind, right? They've been playing close. They've lost three games by a combined 9 points this year. But can they get Mason Rudolph to make some big plays downfield?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
And the big line from draft day with Kevin Costner at the end when he's trying to wheel and deal and get his picks back, he says, oh, no, that deal is off the table. We live in a different world than we did 30 seconds ago. And certainly, we now live in a different world in the NFL than we did 8 minutes ago. What just happened, the next to last play of the Brown-Steelers game, is what we're going to talk about now for the remainder of this show. Myles Garrett has to have played the last down of football this season.
He's done forever. If I'm in control, he's done.
I've been watching football for a long time, right? I've been watching football since I was 5-7 years old. Browns win the game 21-7.
Great.
What I just saw from Myles Garrett, I mean, at the very least tomorrow,
my God,
it should be a season-long suspension for him, maybe even longer. There is absolutely no room in the NFL for what he did. I'm gonna describe it for you, and trust me, you're going to see this everywhere. With seconds left to go in this game, the Steelers are on their last gasp drive. They're winning 21-7. Myles Garrett hits Mason Rudolph when Rudolph throws a swing pass out to the side. They get tangled up going down, and you can tell they're exchanging words, Mason Rudolph and Myles Garrett. They are both clawing at each other, and Myles Garrett gets up, and he grabs, as he's standing up, he's grabbing Mason Rudolph by the face mask.
Right.
Mason Rudolph is yanked up off the ground because Myles Garrett grabs it with his face mask. He yanks the helmet clear off of Mason Rudolph's head. Right? Just clearly rips it right off. Referee throws a flag right away. Pouncey is trying to get in front of Myles Garrett going, whoa, dude, what are you doing? Mason Rudolph is right behind him because Myles Garrett just pulled off Mason Rudolph's helmet. Myles Garrett then puts the helmet in his right hand and overhand clubs and swings it, hitting Mason Rudolph in the head with his own helmet. Calamity ensues. Pouncey starts punching Myles Garrett going down to the ground. Mason Rudolph is lucky. Myles Garrett is lucky that the part of the helmet that he hit Mason Rudolph with was the bottom part. It wasn't the top hard part. It would look like where the ear hole was, because picture Myles Garrett holding the front of a face mask and coming over the top with a huge overhand club swing and hitting Mason Rudolph with that part. So he gets hit with the bottom part of the helmet. It doesn't matter because he gets hit clear in the head. Mason Rudolph's eyes go, what just happened? There's a huge fight on the field. By the time everything is broken up, Myles Garrett is thrown out of the game. Pouncey is thrown out of the game. The Steelers just run one play and kneel on it. Freddie Kitchens is mad about something. I don't know what he could be possibly mad about, but this is where Myles Garrett, you're done. You are absolutely done. You cannot play in the NFL the rest of this season at the very least. Here's how it sounded just seconds ago on Fox.
How about Schobert? 10 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 2 interceptions, 4 passes defensed, and now a sack.
Yeah, he'll be the AFC Defensive Player of the Week.
You're giving it to him right now.
I am.
Here's a flag as...
Whoa! Hello! Whoa! Yeah, that's...
Mason Rudolph got
Rudolph
into
needs
it.
To get out of there.
What in the world? Believe Myles Garrett? They'll be swinging a helmet?
Yeah, there'll be some ejections coming out of this.
There may be suspensions.
That's right, suspensions.
Garrett, that was well after the play.
Well, he tackled Rudolph. Rudolph didn't like the way that he was tackled.
Oh my goodness, rips the helmet off Rudolph's head and then eventually swings it and hits him in the head, and then Ogunjobi comes up and hits Rudolph from behind.
Beyond words,
Joe.
Oh,
my gosh. That's one of the worst things I've ever seen on a professional sports field.
You know, Joe, I have been involved with these in the league office, and it would come to officiating first and then go upstairs for discipline. But this is beyond the normal discipline. This is beyond the normal fine. I think you're absolutely right. It's a foul period to take a guy's helmet off and swing it and use it as a weapon. Automatic ejection by rule. But it goes beyond that now to possible suspension. Of course, then Pouncey. Was it Pouncey that was kicking and throwing the punches?
Well,
that's another one.
They're absolutely. I mean, this is multiple game suspension right here. It's just. I mean, it's. I hate that anybody even has to watch this. This is barbaric, is what this is.
Big Fox on the call. And look, even when the Browns win, they lose, because now this is what the night is about. This is going to be the storyline, the news cycle for the next 24 to 48 hours. Because, like, I get being prisoner of the moment, and I always want to watch out for that. But really, in over 40 years of watching football, when I look at disgraceful things on the field, I always go back to Charles Martin and Jim McMahon, right? The big hit list game of the 1980s, Packers and the Bears. McMahon throws the interception. Charles Martin picks up Jim McMahon when no one's looking and pile drives him into the cement.
Right.
There are bad hits. We saw the bad hit by Demaryius Randall tonight. And, you know, there are bad hits. But something like that, that is just away from the field of play and away from the caught in the moment, that's different than what we just saw there. That's the most dangerous thing I think I've ever seen. Again, luckily for Rudolph, he got hit with the bottom part of the helmet. He could have killed him he hits him with the top part of the helmet. He could have killed him.
Just you watch it a couple times, and I think at first glance, we look at each other and go, he got contact, right? Because Rudolph is still standing there. Right, he gets dazed, but he doesn't go down and turns back. And then Ogunjobi comes in and bumps him from behind and knocks him on his ass, too. So you've got that going. So they both get disqualified. Pouncey takes up for Rudolph, starts throwing blows, and eventually is kicking him. You can't excuse that, but he's standing up for his quarterback. In the moment, it has now become a street fight, is what Myles Garrett ensued. And we talked about it from the beginning of the season, right? Hell of a talent, nickelhead. How many times did he get close on those big swings early in the season, right, where he's offsides and he's going unabated and he was late on a number of hits? Yeah, he was penalized for as many good plays he made. You're talking about the problems that he was causing as well, the number of penalties that were racking up, and he played just this side of the line. You know, the only other thing I'm thinking of in this kind of regard, Albert Haynesworth's, the video of him stomping is going to be played in this. That's the closest I can think of. But this is an open hand, overarm swing as hard as you can with a helmet. Are you kidding me? He's done for the year at a minimum.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Quick NBA update for you. Knicks and the Mavericks, the Porzingis revenge game, tied at 92, 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Meanwhile, the Clippers on the road, trailing the Pelicans, 117-115 with 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Paul George, 28 points in 22 minutes, and Kawhi Leonard has not entered the game for the Clippers
management
tonight. Basically, I think he's going to play every other game.
No, I think that's what it's going to be.
Play every
right?
other game. Play 40 games this year. That's what's going to be for Kawhi.
They're going to play rock, paper, scissors, and decide who's up in a given night.
How many games will they play together over the course of the year?
12.
You just want to have one of the guys, right? Just one guy, one night.
There might be an over-under on that. We might be able to get odds in Vegas. I'll text Furman and
idea.
See if there's something there.
Oh, that's
well,
a good idea.
Well, they do play 13 back-to-backs, so you can cross all those out.
No, that's true. Okay, that's well, that's 26 games. If you play 13
wow,
back-to-backs,
that's
one in one game and
jump.
One in the next one. All right, so that's
wow, this could be
that.
Fun.
Oh, I like that idea.
What do you think the over-under is?
Not a lot.
Yeah, it's going to be small.
If you're talking about 50? Would
no,
50 be
no
even
way.
Close? 50?
Well, he's already missed 12.
Oh, that's true. He's already missed 12. Yeah, 40?
I think that's still aggressive.
I mean,
this is fun.
Including playoffs,
really?
Maybe.
Well,
I mean,
once you get to the playoffs, a whole other thing. But regular season?
Wow.
I don't know. Are we getting to 20? 25?
No, it's getting more than that.
25 is probably a pretty tough number.
If you told me 30 games, I would say, all right, that's probably right.
25, that's Knicks players to quit.
Wow.
That's wins for the Knicks all season.
We're almost there. They're going to be asking James Dolan for their unconditional release. Can I go be that other guy off the bench for the Lakers, please?
So we'll keep you updated there. Meanwhile, 9 minutes to go in the third quarter, and the Steelers could not do anything with the football the last time they had it, so the Browns have it, facing a 3rd and 7. They lead Pittsburgh 14-0. At this point, if you canceled the game and just gave the Browns the win, nobody would care.
I
don't need to see the
this
rest of this.
This game's not over. Baker Mayfield is perfectly capable of screwing this up.
Well, the thing is, the Browns have done nothing.
Well, because they can't
have
run
the ball. Right, but they have had the ball. They have taken over in possessions. Around midfield, they've had the ball on the Steelers' side of midfield 4 times in their past 5 possessions, and they've gotten no points.
No, that's it. The time of possession is about equal to this point. You've had a couple of big plays. You had a missed field goal for the Browns. This game's still winnable for the Steelers.
If you could take points off the board, they'd be in trouble, but you can't.
Oh, they just lost more points. It's now 11-0. Oh, now it's 9-0.
That
now
could
it's
be fun.
7-0. Now it's 6. Now it's 2-2.
Do we have judges like, you know, the
where's
the
Ken
Singer or something?
I don't
where
know.
Where he can take stuff away?
I don't know who this is. Oh, it's Baker Mayfield. But he shaved.
The
I don't
guy
know
from
who
the
it
pink
is.
Commercial?
So the Browns can't get a first down, so they punt to the Steelers. They had the ball on the Steelers' side of midfield, could not do it, and now the Browns have given it back to the Steelers, who will take over again, down 14-0. Meanwhile, big news in the NBA. Guess who is back? Back?
Michael Jordan getting back
league.
Again.
Yes, for the Knicks. He's going to play for the
guess
Knicks
who's
this time.
Back?
Back. And I know this isn't. Frostburg started doing backflips.
Amari Stoudemire.
No,
because you
I
know
would
it'd be
have
great.
If it was the Knicks.
No, but it's still fun, though.
It's very fun, but that would have been way better.
Yeah, no, if he'd gone home.
But this is also West Coast, which is in our wheelhouse.
Home.
He should. Well, I think the Knicks did tell him to go home, and now he's still back.
I'll tell you what, though. We'll get to see him a lot, so that's good.
That's what I mean. It's good for the show because he'll play on the West Coast. And you know,
every
you know,
game will be
big.
On here.
Full array of headbands. I mean, it's great.
Out of the league for over a year. signing a non-guaranteed deal with the Portland Trailblazers is Carmelo Anthony.
Carmelo Anthony!
Oh, Steven.
Just 24 hours ago, it was the, I guarantee I'm playing next year. And here he is!
Yeah, I think he knew that. I think he knew at that point.
Okay.
That's gonna be Stephen A's whole show tomorrow.
But he might not
Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony.
But he may not stick around him.
Coming up next.
Does Lala get back with him now?
I've seen Lala. She was on the Beverly Hills 90210 reboot. She was Brian Austin Green's wife. I saw her on the Today Show the other day. She's making the rounds. He's making the rounds. But they don't shoot television shows in Portland. I don't even think they shoot Portlandia in Portland. So you tell me, how is this gonna work?
Stephen A. Smith has no idea that Portlandia exists.
That's a good point.
Yeah, you might be right about that.
You went too far. Bridge too far. Your credibility just went out the window right there. But the whole Jason A. just
what is this
up.
Hulu? Disney Plus is better than Disney Minus. I was told I got to talk about Disney Plus. The Mandalorian. Why don't we see what he looks like? We got IG-88. We got IG-11. I don't understand what this is all about. What's a droid? What's not a droid? Where's Darth Vader? We got stormtroopers. I don't know.
Can I just say, I believe covering the media, and you know, we watch and Twitter rolls as it does. I don't know that I've ever hated people more than those that went to complain. Look at the ESPN shills about Disney Plus. No kidding. They're trying to launch a new exhaustive service that is the app killer, the Netflix killer, the Hulu killer, and whatever other service you got. Yes, they're employing every one of their top paid stars. Scott Van Pelt's throwing to previews. It would be asinine if they didn't. You know how much they paid for those catalogs? People are so dumb. So lazy.
The thing is, I could just see him on the show giving Frostberg's line. What is Hulu? How do I access the weed? But two things about Melo coming back. This was the one place that if you said to me, if he's coming back anywhere, where would it be? I would say Portland. Because remember, 2 years ago, Portland wanted him. When he was choosing and where's he going to go sign and Melo may still have something left, Portland wanted him. Remember, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum said, dude, come out here. We'd love to get you. He went with Houston. It didn't work out. So Portland was the one team where I would say, all right, that's where he's going to wind up going. His agent and the Blazers stayed in contact since the preseason. So now Melo's there. Can it work? Right? That's the big question. Because I've told you many times, Melo's got nothing left. Nothing left. Can it work for Melo in Portland? And I'm going to surprise you. Because it can, but it's got to be very specific. It's very specific. Michael Caine speaks through his nose like this. If Portland uses him like the Heat used Dwayne Wade the last couple of years, but more specifically last year, Dwayne Wade came off the bench all but two games, and one of them was his final game, so he let him start.
Right.
He played limited minutes, and if he was hot, he played in the fourth quarter, and he had big minutes in the fourth quarter if he is making shots. He's more of a player than Melo is at this point, because Wade is still a guy that in 25 minutes is going to give you 15 points, four assists, three or four rebounds.
He's still impactful across the board. Yeah.
Melo's not that guy. His value is going to be in points. And if that works, if that method works of Melo comes in off the bench less than 25 minutes a night. He's got to be less than 20 minutes a night. He's got to be playing about 15 or 18 minutes a night. And he plays against second units in which he can get his shots and still be able to affect the game because that's how Melo's going to do it. They're not going to change your offense just for Melo, but if Melo can come in with the second unit and fill up the scoreboard, great. And if he's hot, if he's having a big night or he's having a night where he looks good, then he plays in the fourth quarter. If not, he sits in the fourth quarter. If they do that, if that's the way they implement him, maybe with a year off, with a year to get his knee healthy again, he can run up and down the floor for 15, 18 minutes a night and play that way. More than that is too much to ask, and if he's not down for that, it's not going to work at all. But that's the one path, because I want to be positive about Melo, because he brought me my only championship with Syracuse in 2003. Then he helped tear the Knicks all the way down, but still, 2003. And so if that's how they do it, that'll work for Melo, and he can still be, I can't say really an effective player, but at least he's a guy coming off the bench that can hit a shot. He's a guy in crunch time that you're going to spend most of your efforts guarding McCollum and Lillard, and all right, well, Melo can maybe get a shot. He's not going to be double covered anymore. Maybe, but that's the only way it works.
I think when you look at it from the larger league perspective, I know it's, it hasn't been a huge run, a huge length here in terms of games played, but he should place a call to Dwight Howard and just say, okay, how did you get your brain to switch to not having to be the guy? Because right now, Dwight Howard looks as happy as he has in a decade.
Yeah.
Right, playing the role that he does for the Lakers. He doesn't have to be a star. He's gotten a lot of love from local media here with the effort that he puts in on the glass and on the defensive end time and time again. So if Melo can accept that role, he can still hit jump shots. He's not going to play a lick of defense, but if you're looking for a guy to give you a little bit of instant offense, the opportunity's there, right? Lou Williams light. See how I got him in?
Yeah, right. Lou Williams
but a
light.
Guy that you could bring in, and if he's his shots on in a given night, as you say, fourth quarter or whatever, extended minutes, have at it. But it's all about where he's at psychologically, and I think he's been out of the league long enough to where maybe he was humbled, as the Iron Sheik would say.
Well, I think for stars, they know now that have made the money, coming off the bench is not the stigma it used to be. More guys are doing it now, Wade being okay with it, Dwight Howard's okay with it. It's not the, oh boy, look how embarrassing it is for you now, dude. No, I think that has gone by the wayside, which is going to open it up for guys to play a little bit longer, to say, okay, now I'm okay coming off the bench.
Well, he's also a guy who's been beaten up for years, right? So any criticism isn't new, right? It's just it shifts focus in terms of minutes played or what have you. So, I mean, Carmelo is certainly, in terms of being beaten up by the media, I don't know that any future Hall of Famer gets skewered as he does without opening his mouth for other reasons, right? LeBron gets his heat, but he sometimes brings it upon himself. With Carmelo Anthony, just became known as a chucker. And a guy that
like,
got
like Costanza, hey, who's that chucker?
But he got a lot of money, and people were mad. Like, it always gets tied to, oh, yeah, you're making a lot of money. It's like, yeah, it's not his fault. They offered him a giant check. You're signing it, too.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Early in the fourth quarter in Cleveland, the Browns trying to hold on a 14-7 lead over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers were dead in the water this game. Then Demaryius Randall of the Browns thrown out on a vicious helmet-to-helmet hit. That penalty gave the Steelers life. They were in the end zone later on in that drive. And now a game where the Steelers really had nothing going on. They lost Juju Smith-Schuster and James Conner to injury. Now this is a one-score game. We got an entertaining fourth quarter coming your way.
And Deontay Johnson now ruled out because of the hit from Randall, a concussion as well.
Joining us now on the hotline for all big news in the National Football League. Had a huge week last week and a big announcement he's got for us tonight. Follow him on Twitter at Jay Glazer. It is the aforementioned Jay Glazer, NFL insider extraordinaire for Fox NFL Sunday. What's happening, Jay?
What's going on, kid? Hey, I just saw something on Twitter. I got to lead with this.
Okay.
It's great. I just saw somebody tweet out, Ben Roethlisberger tonight looks just like Ron Burgundy when he lost his job. You guys see him on the side? It was great. It was a great little – oh, it was a great meme, man. Usually I hate mean tweets, but that one's hilarious.
Was he drinking the jug of milk saying it was a bad idea?
That's right. Oh, my God.
Baxter!
Side-by-side image. It was fantastic. Pull it up. You got to pull up the side-by-side image.
All right. Hey, how was your weekend last week at West Point? Looked like it was awesome.
Oh, man, it was sacred ground. It was incredible. It was – you know, every year we go somewhere on – Veterans Day or Thanksgiving or Pearl Harbor, it's incredible. And but this year, you know, we've never been to, you know, a military college and an academy, and that was, God, it was unbelievable. It was, you know, we went everywhere from, we met the head of the Army, the Brigadier General on base, and we went to the game, and you know, we get to push-ups in the end zone. We're right there at the tunnel. It's just something different, man. It's, you know, I've never been to a college football game like that. And then just being around them all was so incredible. Where, guys, we're doing a show where, you know, George Washington led our troops. It was, they're still like, you know, war treasures we took from the British back from the Revolutionary War, right there at West Point on, you know, on the Hudson River. It's incredible.
I saw you jump out of the helicopter. When are they taking you up to do that, you know, in a maneuver?
No, I jumped. I did it. I did it. Oop, I mean,
no, he means like real life.
Up in the air, man.
No, no, no. Hey, I jumped out of a helicopter. Don't take away my glory. For me, man, I'm short. For me, that was a long drop.
Trust me, I'm right there with you. You know, we're kindred spirit.
Hey, so what's this I hear? You're opening up MVP in New York, merging vets and players there?
Yeah, actually, we announced on the show this week that Roger Goodell personally and the NFL have donated $175,000 this week to MVP to, you know, help our combat vets in New York and our ex-football players in New York. We're an official salute to service charity this year. It's, you know, it's, man, guys, I got to tell you what, last night we had MVP in L.A. We had about 70 combat vets, and there are people's lives last night that we actually saved directly last night. And it's so real and raw, and there's so much pain and laughter at the same time in that room. It's the most prophetic group of people you ever be around in your life. You put a bunch of combat vets, a bunch of athletes together in a room, and things get very real, and all the rhetoric and red tape garbage get thrown out the window. Man, they really do solve a lot of problems. My dream is that the rest of the world could hear what these guys talk about in a room after we all train together. It's magical.
I'm waiting for your idea of all the special forces guys to become all the new officials in the NFL. I'm waiting for that to happen.
You know, people thought I was crazy. Now I just want to clarify this. What I meant with that, by the way, is people who have football experience. Like,
sure.
People played college football. But again, they have their reaction time is better than these referees. Are you kidding me? They got grace under fire, courage under pressure, right? They're in better shape, these guys. It's just they'll be in a better position to make a call under pressure than these guys who are accountants and lawyers and, you know, businessmen who work, you know, come out and do this on the weekends, which is what the referees do.
And if the players ever give them flack, they could say, "I crap bigger than you," and then it would end right there. That would really be it.
I do think some of these guys, you'll have head coaches, will be a little more hesitant to just wear one of them out.
No, take the challenge flag.
One of these guys is going to be like, I'd help Nate Boyer, obviously, our Green Beret, and helped found MVP with me. I got to help get signed to the Seahawks. And when it happened, Pete Carroll, and I'm like, "God, this is who you want on your roster. It's the 90th guy on your roster. It's exactly who you want, kind of showing these guys what it takes to, you know, to find that extra level and overcome." And so Pete Carroll says to me on the phone, he says, "Jay, what are you making me do?" It's a beat. I gave my spiel. "This is what you want. This is what you want." He goes, no, I understand why I'm signing them, but what if I have to cut them?" I said, "So cut them." He goes, "Jay, I'm not having the guy shoot me from a mile out." I said, "Pete, not my problem. Pick it. I hung up."
Just handle it delicately, Pete.
Nate said, "It's actually a mile and a half."
Well, you got to get that correct. You'd want to make sure you get every yard on that shot as you can.
Jay Glazer, our guest, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Check out Jay on Twitter, vetsandplayers.org, doing phenomenal things there. MVP, merging vets and players. Again, the website, vetsandplayers.org. Jay on Twitter as well, at Jay Glazer. All right, and now as we turn to football coming up this weekend, Jay, at least 11 to 13 teams are going to attend Colin Kaepernick's tryout. Does he really have a chance to be signed?
I don't know. I got no idea what it looks like. I can't answer the question for you. I have no idea what physical shape he's in, what he's going to look like, what his timing's like. And there'll be more teams than that go. And I know the league is calling every team, trying to get everybody to show up. There's not going to be head coaches. It's just that – I don't know where that ever came from. That would never happen, no matter who it is during the season. Coaches barely take time off in the bye week, much less even if it was a Tuesday. It just doesn't happen, ever happen. And general managers too. I mean, their schedules are set for a long time out. But there'll be people there to certainly see it for themselves. But then that's going to be passed around to 32 teams. Nobody can answer the question, and no one's seen him throw a run in 3 years.
Yeah, the curiosity, I mean, just from all the information that's gotten out, Jay, how much is real, how much is imagined in terms of how this all came together. And I think everybody just wanted to make their minds up without seeing it actually play out.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think they kind of, you know, hey, let's get him out there. But then, there's so much politics involved in it. One thing I would love from Colin is just, hey, for to hear from him, like, extended, yes, I want to play. This is what my dream is. This is my, you know, kind of more of a football, more hear him talk more football than anything else, because that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to play football. And listen, anybody who's out of work in this country has got to convince an employer to sign him. It doesn't matter what. It does not matter what job we're in. There's still got to be, you still got to sell yourself.
You know, and that's the thing, Jay, is that he could have been helping himself more to get back in the league in the past few years. And instead, I feel like Kaepernick and his people feel like we should just be getting phone calls from GM saying, here's 3 years and $50 million, when the reality is he's an out-of-work NFL quarterback. And they've never looked at it that way.
I told his agent that a while ago. I would love him to sit down and do a football interview. Obviously, I was trying to get the interview, but even if it wasn't me, I'm like, do a football interview. Like, you're trying to play football, and that's what you want to appeal to, football people.
All right, another quarterback who won't go off the field, and from all reports now wants to play till he's 47. How likely do you think it is Tom Brady, can meet that, and how much does he then go into your MVP? But also, is he still a Patriot when it's all said and done?
What's the chance of the guy come back from 28-3 in the Super Bowl?
madness, right? A lot of things have to happen there, right?
I can't possibly say anything that Tom can't do. We've seen what he can do. I have no idea what the dude can't do.
All right, all the things that have been out there, though, the selling of homes, his trainer, all these guys, likelihood that he's still on a roster, the voiding of the contract, likely that on New England. Come next year.
I was scratching my head on that also. It's like, man, you got to, this isn't a situation where they have an Aaron Rodgers sitting there behind Brett Favre. I'm looking at going, you got to sit on Tom as long as you possibly can. And if I was the Patriots, I would have gone back to him already, saying, hey, let's up you, let's give you. He's always done team-friendly deals, but, man, if you want to play again, I do not want to see you play for anybody else.
All right,
we got to ride and die with you.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like they have Jimmy Garoppolo, which Bill Belichick would say, okay, Tom, you want to go? Yeah, we got Jimmy. We're fine. Now it's like, oh, boy, Jared Stidham?
You leave Jared Stidham alone. I don't know.
Hey, lastly, Jay, Antonio Brown's going to have his meeting with the NFL tomorrow, trying to get back into the league. Is this a fact-finding thing for the league to see where things are at, or could we see something move fast if the league likes what they hear and things would get cleared up for him quickly?
No, I think it's fact-finding right now. I think there's a lot that still are going into it. There was law enforcement involved because there was text, so it's dicey and messy. And I think they're really sifting through all the – I know they're waiting to kind of get all those texts from law enforcement, see what they saw, and then going through all that, then they're going to question them. And, listen, we've seen – just last week, we saw him have these manic episodes. Mm-hmm. He's got to go in there and really – I don't know what answers they're going to get. I don't know what quote-unquote evidence they have. I don't know what they look at as hearsay and what they look at as evidence. But, there's a lot – there's dicey stuff in there.
You can follow him on Twitter, @JayGlazer. That is @JayGlazer, NFL on Fox Insider. And check out vetsandplayers.org. That's vetsandplayers.org. Jay doing all phenomenal stuff, man. Keep doing it. We'll talk to you next week. Have fun.
Did you see the picture yet of Ron Burgundy?
No, I'm going to go look at it right now.
Go look at it.
You're the best, man. Congratulations.
Park twice if you're in Milwaukee. Baxter. Thanks, Jay.
He's the best.